Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Spencer Mahoney. Welcome, Spencer.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Spencer is the regional director in the Southeast United States for the United Kingdom Trade and Investment Group, which is based out of the British Embassy in Washington, D.C., and is responsible for trade and investment activities in 7 states in the southeastern region of the U.S. as well as D.C. Prior to his current appointment, he spent 3 years as head of UK trade and investment in Western India, based in Mumbai. That must have been a fascinating assignment.
Yes, but almost as hot as here, actually, which is
almost
surprising.
As hot. I was thinking that it might be hotter there than here. And he covered 4 states, accounting for over 40% of India's GDP, and managed relations with many of India's largest investors in the United Kingdom, including the Tata Group, which is a big automobile manufacturer, isn't it?
And Tata's huge. It's 99 companies. They own Jaguar Land Rover. They have a steel company. They make Tetley tea. And you know us British, we love our tea. So it's a massive, fascinating group.
So they own Tetley tea as well.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And they're pretty big here in the U.S. as well. They employ a lot of Americans as well.
So why are U.S. businesses looking at the United Kingdom as a viable market to do business in today?
Well, I think it sort of fits into the current kind of economic situation. You know, President Obama is very keen to see companies export and kind of go global.
Okay.
Europe is a massive market. It's actually the largest market in the world. And the UK is like a springboard into that market. We have a common language.
Right.
Our rules and regulations are very similar. So we're a very easy place to come, set up, do some business, and then kind of branch out into Europe. And our organization is basically here to help US companies do that.
So is it easy to set up a subsidiary in the UK?
Yes.
How easy?
Very easy. It takes 13 days is the kind of official estimate. It's very simple. We can help companies, guide them through the process, help them find the lawyers, the accountant. It's very easy to do that. And we're committed to making it even easier.
Is it expensive?
No, I mean, it could be, you know, a few $100s up to $1,000 or so. It's pretty straightforward. And actually, in terms of the current timing, now's a great time to look to set up a UK business because, you know, we've had the slowdown. Property prices are slightly down. There's fabulous deals on rent for people who want to come in and test the water.
Okay. So no language barriers, good relationships between the countries. What about tax issues? How are taxes affected between the United States and the United Kingdom?
Yeah, I mean, there are very clear agreements on how to treat taxation. The good news is that the UK is reducing its corporation tax from 28 to 23%.
We should do the same thing. Our tax rate is much too high on corporations, in my opinion.
But. Well, we feel strongly that the Prime Minister, that we should reduce our tax rates, and we think it will improve the investment environment. We will have, at the end of it, the lowest rate within the G7. We're also making changes to the kind of technical taxes to encourage more investment in R&D, because we think that's really important.
Okay. Now, we've heard a lot less about the European Union than we have about, say, India, where you spend a lot of your time, or Singapore, or China, or Southeast Asia. Japan's struggling, but seems to be on the mend. Those areas of our global economy seem to be doing fairly well compared to Europe. Why would people be interested in Europe over going to these other parts of the world?
I think that's a very good question, but what you have to remember is business will go where the opportunity is, and Europe is the largest market. It's a pretty straightforward place to do business relative to the other countries we've talked about. I mean, the UK, we're looking at billions of investment in our energy infrastructure. American companies are already involved. We're reforming our procurement systems. We need investment in IT. So it's a good, safe investment destination where we can help companies come in and explore and then reach out within Europe. And then if companies are really up for it, then they can look further afield to Asia and Latin America. And once companies are in the UK, we will help them export to those other markets.
So the UK has the advantage of being sort of a springboard into everywhere else. It has some advantages, though, over the Asian markets as well, doesn't it? I mean, what advantages does the UK offer that might not be available in some of these other jurisdictions?
I think one of the easiest advantages is obviously language. It's just so much easier to do business in the UK. The time zone's really
helpful. I understand
you,
by the way. I don't know if you understand me, but I understand you.
The English is fairly similar, actually. Time zones are also really helpful. You can be based in the UK and you can pretty much work 24 hours a day if your company wants you to do that. The law, the accountancy arrangements also help just make things a bit easier.
Now, I think there's a little bit more regulation in the United Kingdom of intellectual property and protection of those types of property rights than there may be in the Far East. And that's one of the advantages, I believe, of doing business in the European Union.
Yeah, we have a very strong and robust IP framework, and it's something which we're continually working to improve. We've introduced a new tax regime so that if you have IP in the UK that's registered, you only pay 10% tax on that IP in terms of the profits.
Okay.
But we're also simplifying the rules and regulation because we want people to use the UK as a kind of IP bank, so to speak.
Now, is UK Trade and Investment actually an agency of the United Kingdom government? Are you a government agency?
Yep. So I'm a diplomat posted here to the United States. We have about 120 staff in 9 offices across the US. Most of them are actually locals. They've come from business, and we've managed to secure their services to help us, you know, foster trade investment between the UK and the US. We have a really balanced relationship. About 1 million Americans work for British companies, and about 1 million Brits work for American companies.
So
it's a very balanced relationship, and we just want to see each other's economies grow and prosper. You know, and we should share examples and kind of do this together, I think. It's a tough world out there, but we've got such a history and such commonalities.
Now, you've been here since December, is that right?
Yeah.
Of 2010, and we're now in August. Tell me, do you have any success stories that you can relay to the listeners of the ways in which you've helped U.S. businesses, rather, transition into the United Kingdom?
Yeah, just before I arrived, the Prime Minister announced that he wanted to help promote the tech city area of East London. So we've got all this investment in the Olympics, got fabulous facilities, we're building all this infrastructure, and we've got this growing tech hub. And there's about 300 companies now, kind of small startup digital companies. And we've been working with a lot of big American companies like Google's, Facebook's, Twitter's to help them come into this area and kind of stimulate this collaboration between UK and US firms. On the energy side, we've been working with some big US companies such as GE to invest in kind of our offshore wind program. That's been interesting. We're also working with some of your some of your DC brands to help them set up in the UK.
So it's not just bringing United States companies over to the UK. When you bring a Google into London, you're actually helping foster entrepreneurship in and around that area as well. So you're going to help start up a whole bunch of companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So Twitter's huge, but most people have been using software from TweetDeck, which is a small company from this area in London, which I think was actually acquired by Twitter.
Huh.
There's a kind of breeding ground for technology, and we're trying to foster people who want to go and visit this area in London. We're organized trips. We'll help them understand how to get part of the incubator facilities, etc.
So I know that London is really renowned as a financial services center, and you've given us a couple of examples. Technology is a new and revitalized focus for you. Energy, it sounds like. What other industries are the UK Trade and Investment Group really trying to encourage development in the United Kingdom from the United States?
Yeah, and I think you've got the right ones there. Technology, IT, the life science sector is a really big one. So Quintiles is a big company down in
sure.
the Carolinas we work with. They have a number of facilities in the UK. There are big companies like Pfizer, which are in the UK, and they've been restructuring, but they're looking at more R&D. So we have, our National Health Service helps companies access our patients' database to help with trials. And we've got 4 of the world's top 10 universities.
That's true. And so you've identified another industry, biopharmaceutical and biotech, which are really hot in this area, and also in Palo Alto and other areas of the country. But, Montgomery County is known as a key center for biotechnology. Companies want to establish operations overseas to do clinical trials or those types of things. It's very helpful to have knowledge of you and your group so that maybe they can establish operations out of London or the United Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's interested in doing clinical trials or just, you know, is there a department in a university which should collaborate on a research project, we will go out, find the university, find the spin-out companies, and link them to the US companies, and then they can take it forward and discuss opportunities. The key thing is for companies to be clear on what is it they want to do, what's the R&D they need, what are the technologies, and we will facilitate that for them for free. Our objective is to help encourage collaboration between our two countries.
So that's the value that UK Trade and Investment is providing. So you're basically linking up our U.S. companies with resources in the United Kingdom, as well as not just technical resources, but financial resources, also legal resources, accounting resources, all types of business resources that they need to establish operations overseas.
Absolutely. Our objective is to help U.S. companies come to the U.K., use it as a springboard, and we want to make that as easy as possible. The Prime Minister wants the U.K. to be the best place in the world to set up a business.
Why?
Why? Because it's good for the economy. We want to reduce taxes, we want to reduce regulation. If business can thrive, then it will create jobs and it will benefit all of us. And we love the fact that foreign companies come in and make money in the UK, because that enables competition, which means that consumers get a better deal.
Tell us about the Olympics. I know that, when are they scheduled, first of all, to be in London?
Well, next summer, I think you'll find most of the UK kind of starts to hide away to prepare for the Games. It's a huge event for us. We're putting a new infrastructure into London. There's a Crossrail project, which will put a new metro line to link up the West to where the Games are.
Oh, wonderful.
We're investing in new sports facilities. I mean, it's going to be across the UK, not just in London. For us, we've been helping foreign companies bid for contracts. As I mentioned, we have the Tech City Initiative, which is about making sure after the Games, this technology cluster is able to spill over into the Olympic facilities. And also, companies, there are lots of American companies which are involved in the Games. Mm-hmm. When they come to then bid for the next Games, they can partner with UK companies to win work in Brazil and the other host nations.
How are you helping companies set up in the United Kingdom for the Games? What exactly are you doing for them?
Well, some of the companies which bid had a small offices, say, in the UK, and they wanted to get involved in the IT side or in the catering. And we work with them to help them understand the procurement rules. And that's a part of our general role, is helping companies understand, well, how do you do business in the UK, link them up to partners, and then help them, you know, they had to expand, find new office facilities, what's the best deals on them, and just help them kind of do it in an easy way.
I'm going to throw you a zinger. I know that there's been a lot of disruption in London recently as a result of the riots that took place and the looting. How has London rebounded from that unfortunate series of events?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say we were very shocked and we were very saddened by what happened. But London responded very positively. If you saw the pictures shortly afterwards, you had thousands of people on the streets with brooms kind of mopping up what had happened. The government has announced a fund to help businesses which were affected. There's a plan being set forth by the Prime Minister. And how do we look at the causes of this and prevent it from happening again? You know, the last time this happened was 30 years ago. And it's very rare for these sort of things in the UK. In terms of the criminals involved, they have been, I think, 1,500 charges, 900 actually people arrested. So we're working through that. But Britain's open for business. People are back to normal, and communities will go on and rebuild and do business.
What's the theory on what caused it? I mean, I know that someone was shot and killed as a result of, you know, certain actions, but that wouldn't necessarily, in my opinion, cause an entire, you know, population to rise up and engage in the hooligan activities that we're engaged in.
Yeah, it's difficult to say. The Prime Minister's view was that this was some sporadic examples of criminality which will not be tolerated, and that's why he set out in his speeches to Parliament a plan of action to help strengthen the powers of the police and ensure that this doesn't happen again. I mean, there are some sad instances in a few specific communities which he will seek to address.
Well, with the short amount of time we have left, tell us about the Green Jobs Initiative being pushed in the UK.
Yes. I mean, the UK, for several years now, has seen the potential for the green economy. I mean, you have the same sort of ambitions here, but for us, we see it as a key means of stimulating growth. We are the world's leader in offshore wind. We have thousands of jobs created by that industry. Energy efficiency is a huge opportunity. I mean, our theory is we need to reduce carbon emissions. Our companies get good at this. They create jobs, and then we'll export those technologies around the world in partnership with other companies.
And it's alternative energy to decrease the increasing reliance on petroleum, which is important for all of us.
That's true. Energy security, lower prices, but fundamentally for businesses, if it means lower cost, it's a good thing. It makes business sense to do it.
So it's double justification. Thank you for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. We're talking with Spencer Mahoney, who's Regional Director, Southeast United States, of the UK Trade and Investment Arm of the British government. Spencer, if people want to get in touch with you, how might they do that?
Drop me an email, spencer.mahoney@fco.gov.uk. I'm on LinkedIn, Spencer Mahoney. I'm on Twitter, Spencer Mahoney. Come and find me. We'd love to help businesses enter the UK.
If you want to do business in the UK, call Spencer. I'm Wayne Zell, and thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest, and have a great week.